Srila Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami is describing the different methods of loving Krishna. Specifically, he's talking about the five different kinds of mellows or rasas in which Sri Krishna is loved by the pure devotees of the Lord. And having made a brief comparative study of them in two verses, he concludes that the Sringara Ras, the Madhur, which he calls the Madhur Ras because of its sweetness, is actually the best. Although every devotee in whatever mellow he or she is situated is perfectly happy and satisfied, Kaviraj Goswami explains that by an objective analysis of these five rasas, we can understand that due to its extremely high taste, the Madhur Ras, the Madhurya Ras or the Sringara Ras is considered the best among all the rasas. And this Madhur Ras, the rasa of intense sweetness, is further subdivided, Kaviraj Goswami says, into two parts, wedded love and the love outside of marriage, unwedded love. Because this is the conjugal love between the devotee and Krishna. It's a very unique thing to love God as a lover. It's hardly found in other religious traditions. And then, what to speak of loving the Lord in conjugal love, but there is a concept of wedding the Lord as a paramour, as opposed to loving the Lord within the limits of marriage. And Kaviraj Goswami says that in this unwedded love, which is called Parakiya Ras, there is an increase of mellow. And such love is found only in Vraja. Srila Prabhupada comments here that nowhere in Vaikuntha is this Parakiya Ras found. And even in Goloka Vrindavan, it is found eternally existing only in that section which is called Vraja. And Srila Prabhupada makes a very detailed analysis of why the Parakiya Ras is considered superior. These are very elevated topics, but nevertheless, since Srila Prabhupada, the subject is such, and Srila Prabhupada has given extensive comments, we'll try to speak a few words about this. It's a matter of much criticism amongst people who have some idea of Sanatana Dharma that the gopis related to Krishna in a conjugal mood even though they were apparently married to other men. And Krishna was sporting with other people's wives. So this is a matter of controversy amongst people who are not familiar with the conclusions of the scripture. So I would like to try to explain in as simple a way as possible, as I can, this whole concept of Parakiya Ras, because that is a topic here, and why it is actually not something to be condemned. On the contrary, in relation to Krishna, it is the most exalted position that a devotee can achieve. Let's start with a simple analogy. Let's take the situation of a husband and wife of this world who are properly married and they decide to take part in a drama. And in that drama, the wife becomes a husband of some other man. And her real life husband is her paramour. He is the man that she loves, even though he is not her husband, in the drama that is. Now picture this situation. in the drama, this lady is simply acting as the other man's wife. Of course, she knows very well that this man is not my husband, and that man knows very well that this lady is not my wife, or we're just taking part in a drama. On the other hand, that lady's real husband knows that she is my wife, and this lady knows that he is my real husband. So they don't feel any sense of guilt, actually, because they associate, they meet secretly and so on. Let's extrapolate this analogy to the pastimes of Krishna. Krishna and Srimati Radharani are eternally together. They are the eternal youthful couple living in the spiritual world. Radha Krishna Pranamola Yugala Kishore. They are Yugala Kishore, the youthful couple live always together. Of course, in the spiritual world, in Goloka Vrindavan, for God, for Krishna, there doesn't need to be a concept of marriage. The concept of marriage is something that has been created for this material world to ensure morality. And in the spiritual world, Lord Krishna doesn't need to be married to Radharani. Radharani is his internal energy. There is nothing separate from or outside of Krishna. And Krishna is eternally with Srimati Radharani. But when they come to this material world, then it may appear that they are born separately, and then they meet each other for the first time at some place in a situation, given situation, and so on. But this is just for the sake of pastimes. But even in the spiritual world, just to increase the excitement of the conjugal love, Krishna arranges that Srimati Radharani is married to somebody else. So the whole of Goloka Vrindavan and basically all of Krishna's pastimes in Vrindavan are one big dramatic performance in which everyone is absorbed in their respective roles. But at the same time, ontologically we can understand that Srimati Radharani is not actually anybody's wife. She is not the property of anybody else except Sri Krishna. This is what actually is happening in Goloka Vrindavan. Therein, she has a so-called husband whose name is Abhimanyu. She has a so-called mother-in-law whose name is Jatila. And she has a sister-in-law whose name is Kutila. Now these are names that also mean something. The word Jatil means very difficult. Kuti means very deceitful. So Jatila and Kutila play those roles to nourish and expand Krishna's conjugal pastimes. Just imagine the situation. You have a lady married to someone, and the mother-in-law and sister-in-law are very deceitful, very cunning, very crooked, very harsh, and ever watchful that their daughter-in-law or sister-in-law doesn't consort with anyone else. They always suspect that she's going out with somebody else, so they keep a hawk's eye on her. And still somehow, now Krishna finds a way to meet her. This, it increases the excitement. So all this has been arranged by the Yogamaya potency of Krishna to just nourish or increase the mellow, the excitement, as Prabhupada mentions here. It increases the excitement of the conjugal mood. Of course, when such a parakya mood is exhibited in the material world, in Prabhupada's words in other places, it is abominable. So naturally, such things cannot take place here if one wants to live a moral life free from sin and free from suffering. For human society, relationships, if at all, have to be done only within the setup of marriage as prescribed in the scripture, and not outside of marriage under any conditions. So this is a law established for humanity by Krishna. So Parakiya Ras is to be seen only in relationship to Krishna and Krishna's pastimes. The morality of this world, of course, doesn't impact Krishna. So Jatila, Kutila and so on are very busy in their own affairs and also trying to see that Radharani should not meet Krishna. So this is how Krishna enjoys the Parakiya Ras even more. In the wedded, in the Swakiya Ras, that excitement is lacking. Actually speaking, in the Bhakti Ratnakara it is explained that Abhimanyu, the so-called husband of Krishna, of Radharani, he only has a conception that Radharani is my wife. But he cannot even touch her shadow. What to speak of touching Srimati Radharani, he cannot even touch her shadow. And he's so ashamed that all the time he's serving his cows and he's with the gopas and the cowherd men. And he's busy all day. And Kutila and Jatila are busy with household activities, making the cow dung cakes and so on. And so somehow Radharani finds some time to escape, and even though they are very vigilant. And then somehow Krishna sometimes slips in into the house. So this is the kind of drama that's going on in Goloka Vrindavan. This is what the spiritual world is all about. God likes to play these kind of dramas because he is Rasika Shekhar. He likes to enjoy and relish transcendental mellows. In fact, Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur explains that none of the gopis' husbands actually could even touch them. Yoga Maya created mystic doubles, mayic doubles of the wives with whom the husbands consorted. Because these gopis are the internal energy of Krishna, they cannot be touched by anybody else. Just like when Ravan kidnapped Sita, he couldn't actually touch Sita. He kidnapped the lady known as Maya Sita, Vedavati. And this is explained nicely in other sections of the Chaitanya Charitamrita. The original Sita is only meant to be with Ram. Similarly, all the gopis of Vrindavan are not ordinary souls. They are the internal energy of Krishna and meant exclusively only for Krishna. No one else can even touch them. So these gopis too consorted with Krishna, and that Parakiya Ras was also enjoyed by Krishna in Vrindavan here. He actually replicates the same pastimes that go on in Goloka Vrindavan and brings them down here when he advents in this world. In many places, it is described that because the jiva is Prakriti and Krishna is Purusha, the enjoyer, therefore all jivas should consider Krishna as their husband. So in one sense, there is no question of unwedded love. Because constitutionally everybody, every jiva has to see that I am Krishna's property. That is one point of view. And in fact, this is one argument that was given by Vallabhacharya that comes in the Chaitanya Charitamrita Antilila. One time Vallabha Bhatta came to Puri and he was getting into a lot of discussions with various devotees. He wanted to explain to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu many things about his thesis about the holy name of Krishna and so on. But Mahaprabhu didn't want to listen. And when Mahaprabhu didn't listen, then the others also did not listen. Anyway, one time he spoke to Advaita Acharya when Mahaprabhu was also present at that place. And he said that the jiva is Prakriti and Krishna is Purusha. That means Krishna is the husband of all living entities. Prakriti is feminine, Purusha is masculine. So from the ontological perspective, we are all wives, so to speak, of Krishna. The wife, according to the laws of Dharma, should not speak the husband's name. So therefore, why do you people chant the name of Krishna? This was Vallabhacharya's point. So Advaita Acharya said, the master of all religion, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, is sitting right here in front of you. So why don't you ask him? So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu replied, my dear Vallabhatta, you do not know the law of Dharma. Now Mahaprabhu came to the law of Dharma. Law of Dharma is ordinary mundane morality and ethics as given in the Dharma Shastras. And then Krishna consciousness or bhakti is something that is far beyond that. That doesn't mean, of course, that when we practice Krishna consciousness, we should disregard Dharma. We must, of course, pay due heed to the laws of Dharma and live a very moral life. But philosophically speaking, the path of pure devotion is far beyond these other things. So Mahaprabhu began to speak and he said, Vallabhatta, you don't know the first thing about Dharma. The first duty of a chaste wife is that she must obey the will of her husband. Krishna has ordered all of us in the scriptures to chant his names. So therefore we chant. So Vallabhatta hadn't thought of this answer. So he was speechless and he left. He became a little morose. So the point like this comes up is that the jiva is feminine, prakriti, and therefore Krishna is the husband of everyone. So if that is so, then where is the objection? Then where is the question of any objection to Krishna performing his rasa lila or consorting so-called outside of marriage or within marriage? What difference does it make? Anyway, everyone is Krishna's property. There is nothing that is outside of Krishna. So it's only people who do not have a clear understanding of this that they actually make it an issue. But where there is knowledge, then this doesn't become an issue. On the contrary, it becomes an expression of the highest bliss, transcendental bliss, in the spiritual world. Because in no other rasa is such freedom and such enthusiasm, as Prabhupada says. The parakya mellow is better because it is more enthusiastic. So nowhere is there more enthusiasm, more intensity than in the parakya rasa. The topic is a big topic, but this is how we can understand that actually speaking, Krishna is everybody's husband. So therefore there is nothing to object. In Goloka Vrindavan, therefore Yoga Maya creates these different situations just so that Krishna may relish his pastimes even more. The Bhakti Ratnakar and other scriptures and also the folk tales of Vrindavan, Barsana and so on, they give us many, many nice pastimes about how the Parakya Rasa works and how the excitement there works to nourish Krishna's pastimes. In the Nectar of Devotion, Srila Rupa Goswami narrates one such pastime. One time, Krishna had somehow slipped into the house of Abhimanyu, where Srimati Radharani was. And Jatila and Kutila were busy somewhere looking after the household cows. And Abhimanyu was away somewhere. And Krishna stole into the house. And Abhimanyu was heading back to the house. And Krishna found out that Abhimanyu is coming back. So there was all excitement now. What to do now? Abhimanyu comes back into the house and I'm in the house. There's going to be trouble. So Krishna is, of course, Krishna. He can do anything. So he disguised himself as Abhimanyu. And then he went up to Jatila and said, "Mother, this Krishna is very cunning. Be careful of him. Just see, he's coming down the road disguised as me." And Jatila believed him. Yeah, really? She took up a broom and she waited at the door. And when her real son Abhimanyu came, she pounced on him. "You deceitful wretch, you dare to come and spoil my house? You want to come and be with my daughter-in-law?" And she started beating him. And Abhimanyu was hard-pressed to explain, "My mother, what is wrong? I'm your son." But she would have nothing of it, and Abhimanyu had to flee. And this picture is here in the Nectar of Devotion. You see this picture? This side? And Jatila is there, and the real Krishna is behind, dressed as Abhimanyu. And he's hiding a smile. And Jatila is beating her own son, Abhimanyu. So these are the pastimes that go on in Goloka Vrindavan, in the Parakiras. And another time it so happened that Krishna was feeling separation from Srimati Radharani. So he wanted to meet her, but Jatila and Kutila were big stumbling blocks. There were thorns in his path and he could not meet her. So he was lamenting. So his dear friend Subal Sakha, the cowherd boy, he said, "Krishna, don't worry. We don't want to see you unhappy. I'll arrange for a meeting of you with Radharani. So don't worry." "But how will you do that?" "No, I'll work out a way. See, I look, my age, my form are all similar to Srimati Radharani. So I'll work it out." So Subal Sakha went in to the compound of the house of Jatila. And Jatila espied him and said, "Hey, you, I know who you are. You are the friend of that debauchee there. So I'll make sure you don't come in here. Go away from here." So he said, "No, I'm looking for my calf. You know, maybe the calf has gone in somewhere." He said, no, your calf has not come here. Go away." But he said, no, please let me look for my calf." She relented and said, "All right, go into the Goshala and see. And if you find your calf, take the calf away. And I'm busy making the cow dung cakes. So I'm busy, you do your work and quickly go from here." So Subal Sakha quickly stole into the cowshed. And from the rear entrance of the cowshed, he went into Radharani's balcony and into her room. And there he began to explain to Srimati Radharani about Krishna's condition and how he was lamenting. And she was moved and she said, "Okay, then I should go to see Krishna. But alas, how shall I go? My mother-in-law and sister-in-law are keeping such a vigilant eye on me." So Subal Sakha said, "No problem. You wear my clothes and you go. You go as Subal from there and you carry a calf with you from the Goshala." So then she wore Subal's clothes and Subal wore Radharani's clothes. And the Radharani dressed as Subal got the calf. She held the calf like that in front and she started walking out. And Jatila looked from the distance. "So Subal, you found your calf?" See? So she imitated Subal's voice. And she said, yes, I have found my calf." And so Srimati Radharani went away. And then when she came to Krishna, Krishna thought Subal had come. "So Subal, any news?" So then she revealed her identity. And then Krishna and Radharani had a very happy time together. They enjoyed many pastimes together. So there are many, many such pastimes. Maybe I can narrate another one. One time, Srimati Radharani was angry with Krishna. And she would not see Krishna. So Krishna was very perturbed. What to do? So he dressed himself as a mendicant. And he came to the house. "Bhiksham Dehi, please give me alms. I'm a sadhu." And Jatila and Kutila had not taken bath at that time and they were busy in the Goshala making cow dung cakes. So they were thinking, well, we can't give alms to a mendicant, to a sadhu, unless we've taken bath. Our daughter-in-law has taken a bath. They told her, go and deal with this mendicant. But Radharani said, no, I don't go out to see men other than my husband. But then Jatila said, then you wait, she told the mendicant. Mendicant said, you know, I'm in a hurry. You know, I can stay in one house only as long as it takes to milk a cow. And then I have to go. Now, Jatila was feeling anxious that if you turn away a sadhu and don't give him any alms, then that's sinful. So then she told her daughter-in-law, Radharani, anyway, just go there. Go and give him some alms. So she came out and she gave some alms. And as she was putting some alms, he said, I don't want any other alms. I just want the alms of her anger to be put in this vessel. Then she understood who it was. And she took the plate of alms and placed it on his head. And then Krishna was very happy with those alms. These are the pastimes that go on eternally in Goloka Vrindavan. That excitement of her slipping out on the pretext of worshipping Suryadev, because it is said that all young ladies, they should worship the sun god. So Radharani would go out along with her girlfriends to worship sun god. And they would use that as an excuse to slip away and then meet Krishna somewhere. Another pastime that comes to mind is, one time Krishna was at home and he saw Mother Yashoda packing some clothes and jewels and everything into some box. Mother, what is this? What are you packing and for whom is it? Krishna is not your business. You just do your work. You just go and play. Mother, what is it? Please tell me. So she wouldn't tell. So Krishna hid outside the window and he looked inside and he understood that she was sending clothes and jewels for Srimati Radharani. Why? Because Durvasa Muni had given her a benediction that whatever food she cooks will be like nectar, and whoever eats that food will live a very long and healthy life. So ever since that time, Mother Yashoda had arranged for Srimati Radharani to come and cook for Krishna. But now Mother Jatila was being a thorn, so Mother Yashoda was thinking that I must keep Jatila satisfied. So she would send her gifts from time to time. So today she was packing a lot of valuable jewels and clothes for Radharani to be sent to Jatila. So Krishna understood this. So he talked with his friends and they hatched a plot. So they quietly entered in, they opened and saw all kinds of wonderful clothes and jewels. So Krishna then got inside the treasure chest. It was closed and then it was taken to, yeah, it's like Vrindavan, the birds of Vrindavan are there. It increases the excitement even more. And the birds are conveying all messages. Yogamaya has so many parrots all over who convey these different messages. You know, where is Krishna, where is Radharani, and all kinds of conspiracies are being hatched in Vrindavan daily. And so Krishna got into that. And then Mother Yashoda saw Abhimanyu just coming, because he had already sent word to Mother Jatila that I'm sending some valuable treasure for your daughter-in-law. Please send your son to get it. So poor Abhimanyu had to haul that big thing. Normally the chests were not so heavy, but this time the box was really heavy because Krishna was there and Abhimanyu didn't know about it. So with great difficulty, somehow or the other, he carried this chest and told his mother, so the box has come from Mother Yashoda. Yes, it contains some valuable clothes and jewels. Keep it in Radharani's room. So Abhimanyu did that and went away. And then when the gopis came, the friends of Srimati Radharani came, they opened the box and lo and behold, what did they find? It was Krishna coming out of the box. So these are the kind of funny pastimes that go on. So Parakiras, therefore, is very, very natural and normal in the spiritual world. It's just like a drama, you see. A drama is going on, but everyone is engrossed in that drama. So Parakiras is not to be thought of as something improper when Krishna does it. Srila Prabhupada explains here that it represents the highest method of serving Krishna, and amongst all the gopis, Srimati Radharani is the perfect, super excellent representation of this Parakiras. It has been much misunderstood even in spiritual circles. At the time when Baladev Vidya Bhushan had been sent by Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur to the king of Jaipur, because the Ramanandi Sampradaya people were trying to inform the king that the Gaudiya Vaishnavas are not bona fide. So Baladev Vidya Bhushan came there to debate with them and convince the king that the Gaudiya Vaishnavas were indeed bona fide. At that time, one of the points that these people raised was that you people worship Radha and Krishna, but Radha is not even married to Krishna. So how can you justify something like this, which is beyond the bounds of morality? And then Baladev Vidya Bhushan had to explain the whole concept of Swakiya Ras and Parakiya Ras. And he explained how when Krishna engages in pastimes in the Parakiya Ras, it represents the highest peak, the acme of his pastimes. So these are subject matters that Kaviraj Goswami is talking about here. We try to explain it in a simple way. So we'll stop here. It's 8:30. Are there any comments or any questions?